Welcome to this month's presentation of the International Low Vision Support Group. I'm Dan Roberts, and our speaker is Dr. Ann Wagner, along with moderator Eric Ringham. Dr. Wagner is a board-certified clinical psychologist with the Minneapolis Veterans Administration healthcare system. She herself is legally blind with retinitis pigmentosa. Eric Ringham is a retired senior editor with National Public Radio News and commentary editor with the Minneapolis Star Tribune.
Thank you so much. We're just so happy to be here with all of you. So we're going to start off just talking about emotions. And if you think about our emotions, it's usually not the positive ones or even the neutral ones that we struggle with. And if you think about, so it's usually the negative or more uncomfortable ones we struggle with. And we also have thoughts and memories, painful thoughts and memories that may show up. And we call all of those things private experiences. Those are things that show up inside us. And if the painful memories and thoughts didn't also show up with the negative emotions, because they do, there's these complex neuronal pathways in our brain that with every memory, every thought, there's going to be emotions probably showing up too. We probably wouldn't struggle so much with the painful thoughts and memories if it weren't for the negative emotions showing up with them. So really, the core of our struggle is usually with the emotions, these negative or uncomfortable emotions. So I want to just start here with having people, having you name through your chat line, names of some of the more uncomfortable emotions, so feeling names that you've struggled with, that you wish would stop showing up, or that you've tried to avoid if you could. We're just going to want to get some emotion names out there. Like, I've already named anxiety and depression, but what are some others?
Hopelessness.
Fear of the unknown, fear and lack of confidence, shame, envy, frustration, embarrassment.
Excellent.
Sadness.
Yes.
Insecurity, feeling defeated, empty, guilt, frustrated, loss of purpose, angry, uncertainty, annoyance, loss of freedom, concern about losing my future, sadness, grief, being left behind, self-consternation, apprehension, deep fear, losing sight, little by little, worrying about not being able to see my children, feeling left behind, insecurity and defense mechanisms that push others away, gratitude, exclusion from some activities.
You've done an incredible job with your insight into your emotional world and being able to name these emotions. But there's two emotions in particular I'd like to give some education about, and one is helplessness. It's actually the most frequent of all the emotions because it actually tends to show up with all of the other negative emotions. So helplessness, even though it's probably the emotion we struggle with the most, it's actually one of the most important ones for us to learn to respect and listen to what it's trying to tell us. So helplessness is trying to tell you two truths. One is the limits of your control. It's trying to tell you that you have control over only one thing in life, and that's what you choose to say or do in this one moment right now. That's all we have any control over. So you have zero control over everything else. We cannot control anything from the past because we don't have a time machine. Even 2 seconds ago, we cannot control it. We cannot control the future. Same reason, we don't have a time machine. We cannot control what other people say, what they do, what they feel, and what they believe. We have zero control over that. And relationships tend to be the predominant source for emotion showing up because of that truth, that we have zero control over what people say, what they do, what they feel, what they believe. Zero control. So helplessness is going to show up hundreds, if not thousands of times every day because of all the things we can't control. It's showing up just to try to tell you that truth. And the second truth it's trying to tell you is that you care about something. there's something here that you care about. Otherwise, it doesn't show up. The other emotion I like to do education about is anger. So for anger, the urge is to attack. And it gives us an illusion of control. Okay, so that's how it's functioning, is kind of to help us not feel a deeper, more painful emotion. And three of the more common emotions, it can be any, but three of the more common deeper emotions, almost always there's helplessness. There's something we can't control that we wish we could in this one moment. Hurt and fear seem to be really common emotions that the anger is showing up to try to help us not feel. And yet they're the true emotion from our heart that are trying to tell us what we care about. So we have all these emotions that are showing up. Every single one is actually the truth of it. It's trying to tell us what we care about. Grief and loss, those are simply trying to tell you that you really cared about an attachment to someone or something. We get attached, we form attachments to ideas. We form attachments to our own physical abilities. So when we experience a progressive loss of our own abilities, we are going to grieve. And that's a core human emotion that's simply trying to tell you, you cared. You care about your body's functioning. And of course it's a loss and it's sad when things decline. It's just trying to honor what you care about. Or if you've lost somebody you love or care about, it's really trying to honor that attachment. They meant something to you there in your heart. So grief and loss, like all the other emotions, have these natural urges. For grief and loss, it may be to cry. That may be a healthy expression. Maybe to seek support and share the meaning or share with somebody. So every emotion has its function that's meaningful and important. So now I'd like to shift to talking about, what are some of the ways we have been taught to struggle with these emotions? Some of the main kinds are isolation, withdrawal. If I don't answer the phone, or if I stay by myself, then maybe I won't feel the emotional pain. The suppression, the burying it, the denying it, the overeating as a way to distract and self-soothe. There are many distractions we do that are functioning as avoidance of our own emotions, like watching TV for hours and hours. We have people may stay a lot of times in bed. Some people develop an invisible wall or a guard up because of past pain and feeling rejected or invalidated or not seen. So you've just learned to become an island. And that's a real effect in relationships. And it's really painful and lonely. Even though we are helpless to control everything else, You do have control over one thing, and that's what you choose to say or do. Even though we can feel helplessness 1,000 times a day, you are not helpless. You are in control of your actions in this one moment. And the more we can have those actions fit our values, that's considered healthier. That's quality of life. Even if we don't get the outcomes we want, because we can't control outcomes either. We are helpless to control outcomes. Only our own actions in this one moment. And what I'm going to be inviting people to do is to shift from this adversarial relationship we've been taught with our own emotional pain, to learn to validate it and start to notice what your core feelings are trying to tell you about your own values and what you care about, because that's why they show up. Now I just like to talk about, what are some of the negative effects of all these avoidance behaviors? Spending time ruminating, isolating. What areas of your life might be negatively affected by these actual avoidance behaviors, such as like relationships? So I want to see what people might say for awareness of what ends up affecting negatively because of the avoidance or struggle behaviors you've been doing.
Unable to care about what other people are needing, having fun, losing friends, gut ache, literally, being in the moment, enjoyable experiences, having a social life, self-esteem.
Before you go on, I just want to say, absolutely, and I use a definition of self-esteem or self-respect. is there's a core part of us that knows in the moment whether you approve of an action you took or not. So in the moment, if you're engaging in the struggle behaviors of isolating, not seeking out support and caring the way you deep down value doing, those are moments of lower self-esteem or self-respect. And then the part of us that knows when we do approve of what we're doing, in those moments, our self-esteem is intact.
I want to back up just a minute to point out that Monique said, this is a few minutes ago, but I am always judging / comparing my past better vision self with my present low vision self.
Such a good point. Our mind is a chatterbox, and it has been programmed because of all the societal messages. We've heard it everywhere. People are comparing, but things used to be this way. We have been taught to have that kind of frame of comparison. So our mind is going to compare to the past when things function better. And in this moment, what's going to show up is grief. Grief. Because of that comparison. It's a natural human emotion that shows up when our mind is doing that comparison thing. And it's simply saying that, of course, you valued what you were able to do when you had better vision back then. And it's a loss and all the things you've lost. So you have this moment to be with that loss, to comfort it, to grieve it, because it is something you care about. And then instead of suppressing it through avoidance and rumination with it, which is taking up moments of your life now that you may want to claim in a different way, once you've been able to accept and allow for that grief and loss because the mind gave you that thought of the comparison, then the mindfulness and acceptance part of this is to know what I call the beginner's mind is a mindfulness stance. There are many. If I were born today, and this was just the way my eyes worked, my body worked, my relationship worked, what would I do right now to honor my values? Or if I'm in a dilemma state, what choice would I make doing the best I can to respect this dilemma if I were born today and this was just the way it is? It's a way that helps us come into the moment with what is. And yes, our mind is still going to keep giving us that comparison pathway because it's been taught to do that. And we're going to grieve. And it's really important to allow that space because it is honoring your heart of what you cared about. And it's a real thing. We get to grieve. And we get to claim our moments today and try to hold that head up with dignity and say, I approve of the choices I'm making now in the context of what is. And it's not easy. So you all have listed so many of the negative effects of the struggle behaviors themselves, the avoidance. So three questions. And the first question is, have any of you stopped feeling painful emotions? It is actually impossible to not feel what we feel. It is actually truly impossible. And this is a fact. It is impossible to control our private experiences. Our emotions get triggered, just like positive ones. If they happen to show up, they're triggered by something. Negative emotions get triggered, and often what's showing up is something from the past. A lot of times it is the present, and a lot of times it's a bit of both. And it's important to understand and relate to your emotional world to kind of get a sense if your response in the moment seems a little bit out of proportion to the present, then it is absolutely safe to assume something's coming up from the past, that pain. And we don't even have to know exactly what it's related to be able to validate, yeah, something else is showing up here from the past. So you need to cry. That's a natural, healthy human expression. And some of societal programming, particularly for men, but many women in their backgrounds have been taught that it's simply not okay to cry, that it's, quote, a sign of weakness, you're going to be rejected, all of that. Those are judgments, and there's no truth in any of it, and it's really hard to defy or stand against that programming. But what I'm going to encourage all of you to do is try to connect with your core. It knows its truth, and it knows what you need for healing. So fact number one, we cannot control our emotions. They're going to show up. Fact number two is none of the emotions themselves cause any of the negative effects of the avoidance. So let's say we had all those emotions kind of floating up on top in a room. They're all up there, all of our natural human emotions. And under them, we had all these struggle behaviors that we've done, the isolation, the alcohol use, the rumination, the suppressing, the bearing it. All those are under it. And then under those struggle behaviors are all these negative effects of impaired relationships, you not living your values, feeling more lonely, perhaps more depressed. Things aren't working. Life is out of balance. Quality of life is out of balance. All of those bottom layer negative effects come only from the struggle behaviors, the avoidance. They do not come from the emotions at the top in the room. We can eliminate all those negative effects by simply choosing willingness to hear and be with the emotions that are at the top of the room. So when we can be with them and we can invite them fully to be with them and connect with them compassionately, then we get to see that things open up, because it means you're going to be doing what you value then. You're going to choose willingness to feel emotional discomfort in the service of reaching out to stand against that invisible wall, to cry, because every tear is trying to tell you about your heart. And it's trying to tell you that in that moment, you are actually connecting with your core like it's a beloved best friend. And it's been feeling lonely. It's been feeling so lonely for so long because of the societal programming. So I want to make it very clear. There's no blame here, because blame would be a judgment and there's no truth in that anyway. We've been taught all of these struggle behaviors. We've all been taught them. And all we can do in the moment is try to claim our values and accept what we feel, choose willingness to allow it. And a bit of self-compassion and validation is kind of healing. So fact one, we cannot control what we feel. They're natural. They're part of being human. Our emotions, the positive, neutral, and negative, they are natural. The second fact, the emotions themselves do not cause any of those negative effects. They come only from the struggle behavior. That's it. And we can actually do something about that. Fact three, if we notice, as we talked about it, some of you acknowledged increased depression. The struggle behaviors actually contribute to the very thing you've been trying to not feel, anxiety, discomfort. The more we struggle with it, the more we suffer. We have increased emotional distress. So it's a mental health rule. The more unwilling we are to have something of a private nature, one of our private experiences, the more we've got it, it's bigger. So the more afraid you are of feeling fear, you're gonna be afraid all the time. You're gonna be constantly like, what's gonna trigger fear? Oh my gosh, can't have it. Fear's there all the time. Versus willingness to understand, if fear shows up, it's going to be trying to tell me that I care about something. It's going to be trying to tell me that I care about my own safety, if it's that kind of fear, or it's going to be fear that's telling me I care about access to the things that are important to me or to my health and well-being. It's trying to communicate something important. So I'm going to choose willingness when it shows up. I'm going to try to listen to what it's telling me. So many people who've had experiences where other people in their lives have been invalidating or abusive start to internalize the message that somehow I'm not good enough. And they feel like that hurt feeling is somehow reinforcing that idea. But actually, if we can learn to understand what hurt is telling us, say somebody has just said something judgmental that their mind gave them, they chose to speak it and they put it at your feet and it's about you. Something judgmental and painful. And you feel that hurt and you feel that helplessness. The helplessness again is trying to tell you that you can't control what this other person did. And it's trying to tell you that you care about something. And that's where we get to listen to the hurt. The hurt is actually trying to tell you something that's a core truth. That deep down, your self-respect is completely intact. Your core knows you did not deserve that judgment. Your core knows there's no truth in it. It doesn't fit. And the hurt is actually trying to validate that for you, that what this person is putting out is not you, was never you, and you feel hurt. So it's really, really important to validate when the hurt shows up, when we feel that we've been invalidated or judged in some way that doesn't fit with our truth, to acknowledge it and to kind of comfort it and recognize that it's trying to tell you something about your own heart and about your own self-awareness. You've always, always been worthy of loving kindness in this world. We all are. And we know that life doesn't give us those experiences. We know that our systems do not support marginalized peoples. Hopefully someday things will change, and many things have over the years. And in this moment, you get to stand with your dignity and integrity and head held high and know that the hurt feeling is affirming you are whole. You have everything you need in you.
Thank you, Ann Wagner, for those important thoughts. I hope this will generate some good discussion among our listeners as they consider the importance of valuing and verifying the honest emotions that can play such a helpful role in maintaining our well-being. This presentation has been edited for length from a talk given at the Visions 2020 virtual session, sponsored by Foundation Fighting Blindness. The entire 2 hours of the discussion can be found on youtube.com by searching for Mental Health: Coping with Anxiety.